And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, I tell you, somebody who never fails to provide, you know, solid commentary on the issues of the day is my friend Stephanie Smith. Stephanie is the principal of the Thatcher Coalition. You can find her online at thatchercoalition.com. But she's been around politics, working in governmental affairs and politics for a number of years, a master's in public administration, literally doing governmental affairs and public policy throughout both the federal and the state sectors. Without further ado, hello, Stephanie Smith. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. And listen, you had to have had the massive Thanksgiving because you're also the mom of seven kids. So how was Thanksgiving for you guys?
I love Thanksgiving. And it's my favorite holiday. And so we do big Thanksgiving at our house every year, and it was great. I had my great aunt was here, who is 90.
Wow.
And then all the way down to my youngest son, Co, who's 7. So we had 20.
Wow.
It was really fun.
That's good stuff.
But,
you had 20 at your house? Were they all at your house?
But 9 is my normal, so it was just kind of double.
I know.
Which is not a big deal.
Oh, it's an extra sack of burgers and just move on. You're good. I mean, that's...
Well, luckily we didn't resort to burgers. The turkey was good.
Well, good. I am glad. I'm glad. Well, hey, listen, so when I texted you about coming on, I said I'm doing a session on the pending lame duck session of Congress, and it starts today. Schumer's already saying they're going to be trying to get the so-called Respect for Marriage Act done. They're looking at raising the debt ceiling. They're talking about amnesty for illegals. I mean, even Biden's saying he wants to call for gun control in the lame duck session. I used to always say in the state Senate, there's dangerous times when love breaks out on the Senate floor, but it also gets dangerous when you have a lame duck session and you're trying to get all you can get.
It absolutely does. And it's one of those, legislatively, it feels like the most things happen at the very beginning of a quadrennium or at the very end of a session. And so it's like this hurry up, let's see what kind of damage we can do before we, you know, get ushered out of town. I'm making an assumption here that the, you know, NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, will be where he tries to throw that assault weapon, I used air quotes, you just couldn't see me, ban, because that's normally where they try to insert nonsense language, you know, anti-Second Amendment language. And so that's my guess there. The immigration amnesty, I mean, goodness knows, how many times have they tried this at the end? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. But, you know, the thing that bothers me is the fact that they keep trying and they slam it into it. And there's no way in the world they can bring up the legislation they're talking about and have it properly vetted and voted on in a responsible manner. That's the thing. The lame duck session is the hurry up, get her done session.
It is. And it's one of those, you know, it really subverts the will of the people. We didn't get the red wave that we wanted. But it does subvert the will of the people to have, you know, Nancy Pelosi in charge of the federal budget. You know, they pass a short-term CR, but that expires. I think it's next week.
Yep.
Or
it does.
15th, 16th, something like that. So it expires, and then what? I mean, you know, during the Newt Gingrich years, there was always the, oh, we've got to do this, or, you know, shut government down, and that phrase doesn't bother me at all. It probably should bother me more than it does. But the whole, we're going to have to shut the government down. Okay.
And they always make exceptions. Essential services will continue. There will be things that actually shut down and people that go home and they don't come into their, you know, bloated government offices. But here's the other thing they're talking about doing is using this legislative session, the lame duck session, to raise the debt ceiling again before conservative Republicans can have more say in it.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing is, you know, and not being on the inside up there, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to gauge who's who. It makes me wonder if there's some collusion going on, especially on the financial situation with budgetary numbers and the raising the debt ceiling. And it does make me wonder if some of the more moderate Republicans want a little wiggle room. And they're using, you know, the lame duck session as cover.
Well, I think one of my articles here says that McConnell actually supports raising the debt ceiling again. So yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Well, then there you go. My gut was right.
You were spot on.
But it's just one of those things. You just see it. So when you're an observer of politics, you know, you see the same human nature, whether or not it's local, state, you know, federal politics, you see those same indicators over and over again. And they're just markers. And once you see them, you know, you just see them come back again and again. This Respect for Marriage Act situation is a bit of a mess, just honestly. 12 Republicans ended up voting for that. There's some debate about how much religious discrimination is basically allowed under the provisions of this bill. You know, what it actually does, a lot of people are saying it's just window dressing as far as same-sex marriage, but then has these negative connotations on anybody who disagrees with same-sex marriage, which is, you know, the vast majority of Bible-believing Christians. And so there apparently are protections specifically for the marriage ceremony, but not for private institutions or adoption agencies or you know, other organizations that are kind of quasi-religious organizations like schools and foster agencies and things like that.
I did a feature on that last Wednesday, I believe, and it's the first time that I can remember that I wound up disagreeing with our mutual friend Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty. Matt's opinion was it is more window dressing. It's not something that we're going to wind up seeing a whole lot of you know, fears or concerns if they wind up passing it. And I look at it and go, no. I mean, I found multiple articles that point out that some of the things that were passed under the auspices of the Civil Rights Act got bloated and pushed by regulatory authorities and made into things that was never intended to be. And that's, I think, what we need to be concerned about. But then Mike Lee's got an amendment for it, and they won't even. So when you see an amendment that just says there won't be lawsuits, you know, against, you know, these religious institutions, and they don't want to put the amendment on, you have to go, okay, what's up?
Right. Well, and you also have a section that empowers the attorney general to bring civil action against anybody who violates it. Yeah. And then there's also a right of private action. And so the way I'm thinking of it, and, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but and I distill it down to non-lawyer terms, it's basically what Texas did on abortion, which is, you know, you can bring a private right of action, and that just brings everything to a halt. Because anybody can accuse you of that, and then you've got to litigate your way out of it.
Yep.
And so, you know, I would probably disagree with Matt that it's not a big deal. I think maybe part of his point of what I haven't talked to him directly, but I did read his article, and it seemed like his point was that the judicial system will right any wrong that there is. And my point is, I want religious freedom without having to hire a lawyer.
Oh, wow. That was well said. Hang on, I'm gonna write that down real quick. And that was perfect. You're right. I think you just summed up the entire issue. Well, and the other things that we're looking at right now. So we're looking at a lame duck session that could include that even as early as today. Schumer is talking about voting on that today if he could get it to the floor.
Right.
And then we're talking about raising the debt limit. But the other thing that I'm looking at is the border is completely out of control. I mean, they're actually calling, the Republicans are calling on impeachment proceedings if Mayorkas doesn't resign. And then 2.4 million known contacts with the illegals, not to mention the 500,000 gotaways. And yet we're looking right now at the solution from the Senate Democrats is during the lame duck session, they want to pass an amnesty bill to try and just go ahead and legalize the 11 million known to be here, which is more than that really now.
Well, and yeah, that's. I wonder where they're even getting the numbers at this point. The border, there's not really a border. It's just a porous situation. And so, I mean, I don't even know how they're calculating how many people they're even talking about. So that'd be my first question. My second question is, where is the mandate from the people asking, begging, pleading for immigration amnesty? I just. You know, again, what in a red wave, a bit of a red puddle or trickle. I've heard lots of different, lots of different water analogies.
Yeah,
but they're all small. And so, but I mean, even with that, to me, there's no mandate. There's no push for, you know, there are not people rising up asking for amnesty for illegals. And so I just don't understand where that mandate's coming from besides their, you know, their political power.
And I don't know whether, like, for instance, Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, she's up in 20, she's up in 2 years. And so for her to vote for amnesty at a time when she's already been on the record kind of bucking her own party about border control,
right?
I just don't know they can get the votes. But then again, lame duck session. Lots of, it's like I used to say, again, earlier in the state Senate, bad things happen when love breaks out on the Senate floor because everybody goes, hey, let's just do it. It's okay. Let's get it over with, man. We all want to go home. That's a bad thing for public policy when that happens.
It really is, because it's supposed to be a slow and methodical and, you know, the whole sausage making situation. Everybody makes fun of that, but that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a slow moving ship, not a quick speed boat. And so that's what we're on the back. We're hanging on with the skis on the back of some maniacal speedboat. And that's what the lame duck session is for the next 2 weeks. Instead of, you know, a large battleship, you know, just moving slowly through the water and you know, turning the correct direction. So, yeah, I mean, the bad news is it's going to be a bumpy few weeks. The good news is they only have a few weeks left.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't get to the end of 2 years fast enough, in my opinion. Just and wait to see what happens. All right, I tell you what, speaking of which, I had a piece that came out in 1819 today talk about we better start looking forward over the next 2 years now and picking what we like. What are you seeing, hearing, sensing out there about a presidential challenger? What do you think is going to happen on the Republican side as it stands today?
Yeah, I read your piece, and I really enjoyed it this morning.
Thank you.
I think it's early. I actually liked DeSantis's response to the fervor right after the midterms, which was, you know, let's all settle down for a few minutes. But yeah, I think that there will be challenges to Trump. Meaning, I don't think that he is, you know, I don't think that he is the definite candidate. I think that there will be some challenges to him from both sides. I think there might be a challenge from the right, and then there'll obviously be a challenge, a moderate challenge. You know, I don't think it'll be a free for all like it was last time. I don't think it'll feel as much like an open seat, but I do think that there'll be a handful of challengers. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what issues they're talking about, because so much of our politics, I mean, really, in most of my lifetime, but it's amped up in the last 8 to 12 years, has been so personality driven.
Yeah.
That, you know, Obama literally wrote what he was going to do in his book, and nobody read it just because they liked the guy. So, you know, I'm just kind of tired of voting for people on personality, because I'm such an issues oriented person. I could care less what your personality is if you vote correctly and if you push the right issues.
Yeah. And then conversely, which I guess was part of my point in my writing this morning, a lot of folks did just the opposite. They voted for Biden to vote against the personality of Donald Trump, even though Biden has all his policies, 40-year record in D.C. We knew exactly what he was going to do, and he's doing it.
And when he came out of the basement, you know, to go to the outdoor vehicle, fully masked rally that he had, he said what he was going to do.
Yep.
And you're right. I mean, Biden has been a leader, you know, again with air quotes, for a lot of years, has a lot of bad quotes, has a lot of bad votes, and has been kind of a, I hate to call him names, I'm sounding Trumpian, but kind of a union thug for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So there's no surprise of how he's governing. This is exactly how I anticipated him governing, but the anti-Trump vote was obviously stronger than the pro-Trump vote.
Well, lame duck session before us. So stand by, Stephanie. I may call you again. See how things are going.
Yeah, I would love to rehash it after it's over for sure and see what they ended up doing. It's one of those things. I guess it's because, you know, we're a step away. I just don't feel like, you know, I have any levers that I can pull to influence things up there. I did see that Tommy Tuberville signed on to that Mike Lee letter asking for that additional language for protection for religious liberty, which I appreciate. I appreciated the fact that he now recognized that this was a problem, because I think that at first there was some miscommunication or misunderstanding about what the bill actually did.
Well, stand by, my friend. In the meantime, thanks for making time for us today. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Always enjoy it. Thanks, Phil.
Take care. Stephanie Smith, always providing good, solid commentary. Listen, we're going to come right back and talk about some of the things in more detail that are coming up in the potential lame duck session of Congress. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.